good afternoon and welcome to Giant Ear. You are listening to work from Andrea Poli, who is the co-chair of the New York Society for Acoustic Ecology. And we are at a little party here this afternoon, a going away party for her, because she is soon leaving on several forms of transportation to transport her to herself down to Antarctica, where she will be working with some scientists and sonifying their data about global warming. And what you're listening to right now is some work that she's done with some climate data, some other climate data that she's collected with other scientists. So we're broadcasting live this afternoon from an apartment somewhere in Manhattan. Lispinard, I was told, near Canal Street. So that's what we're doing this afternoon. We're going to have some people over a little later, and we're going to listen to different works from NYSA members, and we're going to talk to Andrea Poli about her trip, and we might even give her a quiz on Antarctica to see how much she knows before she gets there, because it could come in handy out there on the ice shelf. So we're going to listen to this for a little while, and we're going to come back and do some talking. Enjoy.
giant chunks.
Yeah.
Whereas before it used to all coalesce. So it's more dangerous.
Hi, this is Johnny Farrow. You're listening to Giant Ear Live from somewhere in Lower Manhattan. I'm sitting here with, well, not really sitting. She's not sitting. I'm sitting. She's now sitting. There's a mic for you, and here's some headphones. With Andrea Poli. She is the co-chair, along with me, of the New York Society for Acoustic Ecology. She has a glass of wine in her hand.
Cheers.
Which is a good thing, and she's not driving, so that's always good. Okay, why don't you try your mic?
Testing.
I think that works.
Cheers.
There's headphones if you'd like.
No, I'm not enjoying the headphones.
She's not. She doesn't like headphones. So what we were listening to there was sonification of North Pole weather data from 2003 to 2006 with meteorological modeling by Dr. Patrick Market. And this is work by Andrea Poli and Joe Gilmore. It's a 45-minute piece, and we listened to about 15, 20 minutes of it there. It's very lovely.
It's called Endpoint.
Endpoint.
N, or N dot if you're Joe and you're from the UK.
N dot. That's wonderful. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're going to do down there in Antarctica besides wear a lot of heavy clothing.
Right. Well, I'm going there specifically to continue working with weather and climate scientists. There's tons of them down there. Tons of automatic weather stations, they call AWS, all over Antarctica. There's a whole organization that does weather just for navigation, for the helicopters and things that take people around. And then there's a whole other group of people that are studying weather and climate in terms of, you know, what's happening due to climate change and what are the implications and stuff like that. So I'll be working alongside some of those scientists. And
that's great. So are you then taking their data and sonifying it? That's basically what you're doing, or you're just going to do what they want you to do?
I'm
basically
trying to get whatever I can get and do whatever I want.
Okay. That's good.
But the first thing I'm going to do, I think, is interview them and talk to them about their experiences related to their research, but also related to their sound experiences in Antarctica. So I'm interested in finding out about that. And, you know, I'm kind of open to what the scientists find particularly interesting and what they'd be interested in hearing sonified, basically.
Right.
One of the things I'm really focused on, though, is trying to get as much real-time data as possible. For example, the balloon launches. They launch weather balloons twice a day in a bunch of different places. So I'm going to put a little mic on one and see what happens.
So you're it's not necessarily sonifying data. It's that you're going to actually capture the sound of the weather balloon going up.
I'll try to do both. What I'm going to try to do is combine you know, field recordings from the area and maybe even interviews with people about their sound experiences with the sonifications, which will be new for me, which I'm really excited about.
That's awesome. And do you also, are you guys laughing at me? No, you're laughing at me. Okay. I'm just like, that's awesome.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right.
You're very funny.
Okay. Well, I'm funny looking, perhaps. That's what it is. But of course you can't tell that on the radio. My mother always told me I had a face for radio. Yeah.
I'll do. That's what we're doing here. And Mooney in the background, Edmund Mooney.
Andrea Callard wants to say something from a distance.
Hi.
Oh, good.
I just wondered if you were speaking on the radio.
We are. Would you like to say something?
Well, I was in the other end, so I just wanted to be able to hear it later.
Oh, okay. I think we're recording it.
Okay. Keep recording.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Thank
we're
you.
Live now, and we'll be archived later.
That's right.
So, of course, if you're listening now, you'll be hearing it now.
Well, you probably, actually, what you're listening to is probably a few seconds behind what is actually happening, which we learned earlier, which is, it's like a time warp. It's really wild. Okay, so now I think we're going to have a little quiz for Andrea Poli, because she's going down to Antarctica. We're going to see how much she knows about where it is she's going.
Should we have callers call in and see if they can answer first, or it's all up to me?
I think it's too hard to have them call in.
Yeah, if they want to call my cell phone.
Oh, yeah,
my phone is dead.
Put put the number? If you know Edmund Mooney's cell phone number, give him a call.
Right, right now. If you're listening, call him.
And if you know the also if you know the answer to the question.
Stay on the air, 'cause then the government will know.
Right, you don't want to do that because you know they're listening. So anyway,
for all you government agents, right. Here's the question.
Okay, question number one. How many oxygen atoms make up an ozone molecule?
How much time do I have?
You, whenever you want to answer, it's fine.
Three.
Oh, my God. You got it right.
What do I win?
A new car. Yes. Okay, that was very good.
Yes, indeed. And as they say, as the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says about ozone,
yes.
Good up high, bad nearby.
Oh. That's very. I don't really know what that means, but.
Well, it's that ozone's a pollutant when it's at ground level. Oh. I know there's these people who say, you know, enhance your life with ozone generators and stuff like that, but it's actually really bad for you. But if it's way up in the stratosphere,
yeah.
Obviously it's good.
Then it bounces stuff out.
Because
whatever.
You know, we have this hole in the ozone layer, which is
happens bad. To be right over Antarctica.
It does.
Well, you're going. So I'm assuming that you're not going to be tanning when you're there.
Well, it's going to be 24/7 sunlight.
Yeah.
Apparently, the sunlight sort of changes over those 24 hours, mm-hmm. but it's basically going to be sunny the whole time. And we've got special goggles that we need to wear.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's so far out. Yeah. So you've been to the North Pole too?
I have not.
You have not
above
been to the North
Arctic
Pole.
Circle, no.
Okay, so Santa Claus doesn't live at the South Pole, though. He lives. Is it the North Pole that he? Okay. The next
the
question.
Easter Bunny's
the
down
Easter
in the
Bunny
South Pole.
Lives at the South Pole. Of course. Why wouldn't the Easter Bunny live at the South Pole? Okay. A person of the opposite sex who might be considered a five
possible.
Elsewhere is called a what?
What?
A person of the opposite sex who might be considered a five elsewhere
five?
Is called a what?
What is a five elsewhere?
You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, someone is like.
Elsewhere? Yeah. But what's the elsewhere?
Not Antarctica.
Oh. Because in Antarctica, the odds are good, but the goods are odd.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad. I'm going to give you a. I'm going to give you this, but I'm also going to give you this. You have to get this, too.
Oh.
Well, that didn't quite work out, did it? It's
that
because I turned
sound
it off.
Good.
No, that's not
I good. Had no idea of the answer to that question.
It's called an Antarctic 10.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. A person of the opposite sex who might be considered a five elsewhere is called an Antarctic 10. All right, so.
Yep. Not a lot of people down there.
Next question. A good weather day when it's time to go out and play in Antarctica is called a what?
Not a blizzard.
No. It's a dingle.
A dingle?
I don't know. I don't know where they come up with this. It's on the internet, so.
Okay. I'm going to use that.
All right. You got two more. You should. If you go down there and say, it's a dingle day.
What a dingly day.
Yeah. What a dingle this is. People will either say, yes, it is, or they'll look at you like you're from the Arctic Circle.
Right. The only Antarctica slang, well, I learned a couple ones. On the ice. Nobody says Antarctica.
Right.
They just say on the ice.
On the ice.
And
that's kind of obvious.
Right. I guess.
No, I don't know. What are they going to say if they're all melts?
Yeah.
I don't
In
know.
The pool?
Down there.
Yeah.
Wet. And on freshies.
The new people.
Fresh food? No.
Oh. This is like a Donner party or something.
Freshies.
Right?
Fresh fruit and vegetables.
Ah, freshies. Yes,
which they
nice.
Don't get very often, apparently.
I can't imagine. Well, this next question kind of relates to that a little
bit.
Whole Foods doesn't fly down there.
Right, Whole Foods doesn't deliver to the Arctic, to Antarctica. The emotion felt on seeing smelling green things and plants after having been on the ice for X number of how long? It's called a what?
It's too hard.
I know. These are your people. I don't know.
It's like made up. Oh, it's a real answer. It's a real.
It's a real word.
The experience of smelling green stuff.
And being excited by it. after being on the ice for however long?
Green ecstatic.
Oh, that's pretty. That's close. That's close. I'm gonna give you this anyway. So that's like it's a green out.
Oh, green out.
Yeah,
cool.
Green out. Cool. I don't know if you knew that. Okay. So the last one is sort of you should hopefully you'll know this one. The nickname for the U.S. base that you're going to, McMurdo, is called
Mactown.
That's the one.
Woo-hoo!
Yay! Okay.
I didn't know that. I did. I made it up.
All right, that was wonderful.
Thank you.
So I think Ned has something queued up over there for us, and we'll come back and talk to Andrea a little more.
We're 37 minutes. I think it's about to end.
So it's 45 minutes.
It's got about 7 more minutes.
Should we play that out?
We're going to play out Andrea's work that we were listening to before. And
Endpoint.
Endpoint.
With Joe Gilmore.
With Joe Gilmore.
Pat Market.
And Pat Market. Pat Market. Yes. All right, so we're going to play that out and come back and maybe do a little more talking and
thank you.
Play
what
some
was
more
my
stuff.
Final score?
I kind of lost count. I think you got, but I think you got 40%, which is probably good enough for Antarctica.
In Antarctica, 100%.
Yeah, in Antarctica, it's an Antarctic 10.
Point a 45-minute sonification of sounds.
We were just getting a little feedback on the
you're
from the
listening
laptop.
To Giant Ear, and that what you were listening to Endpoint, sonification of weather data from 2003 to 2006 by myself, Andrea Poli, and Joe Gilmore, with data modeling by Dr. Patrick Market of the University of Missouri. And we're here at NYSE member Andrea Callard's loft down in Tribeca. We're having a live show and party. So if you're listening, please join us. Grab a wine or a beer or a beverage of your choice and listen along with us. The next thing I think we'll be listening to.
You should put on these headphones and tell us what it is.
Okay. Hang on. I hate to wear headphones when I'm on, but I think I have to hear, so, okay. Okay, so you're listening to the train station in Zurich, and I was just down in Zurich and met with one of the authors of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, Andreas Fischlin, and I did some field recordings while I was there. These are binaural, so if you've got headphones, I recommend.
It's November 13th, 2007, in Zurich. I'm Andrea Poli, and I'm here with terrestrial systems ecology scientist Andreas Fischlin. As coordinating lead author of the Intergovernmental Panel of Climate Change, he's a co-recipient of the 2000 Andreas, thank you for talking with me. Hello.
You're most welcome. Hello.
Can you tell me a little bit about your research?
My research is concerned since many years with the impacts of climate change on ecosystems. What I'm doing is mostly modeling. So that is, I collaborate with people who do the field research, and I'm a specialist in modeling complex systems like forests, sometimes also meadows, grasslands, and I'm looking there what happens if the climate changes to those systems, either in the past, for instance, during the end of the last ice age, or at the present, and most importantly, in the context of climate change in the future.
So can you say a little bit more about how these models work? I think it's difficult for people to understand what that means when you say model.
There are many models and different types of models. And when I explain that, then I would say I pick one of those who we work most with. And that is so-called patch dynamics. This is based on the observation that within a forest, for instance, you find regularly some old tree dying and leaving a gap. And within this gap, you then find a lot of individual young seedlings growing up and competing for light and nutrients and trying to grow. And these are the kind of processes we actually model. And in the model, we do not just track individual trees. We also, of course, track what the environment is at the particular moment and how it changes, like when you have lots of precipitation or when you have a drought spell or if you have a flood or whatever. And these events shape the competition and what happens. And we base then this model, of course, on a lot of characteristics which were studied through decades by now on these individual species. Some, for instance, can tolerate a lot of shadows even and can grow even if they underneath the crown of a big tree, and others can't. They need a lot of light, and things like that influence the way how the competition works. And that's what is reflected in the models. And the models have been actually quite well tested. They belong to some of the best models we have in ecology, actually. That was one of the primary reasons I got interested in. And that is that these models can quite well predict what kind of natural forest you would find at any given place on the world if you know the climate and if you know the soil properties.
How is a model tested? How do you know that a model's good?
You test the model first by, as I said, just taking the environment, taking a particular location, and if you feed those data, as you have measured them at the particular location, into the model, then you should get the forest you actually find there. So that would be the first step.
Okay, so we're talking about the use of models.
And how to test them.
I just wonder, I mean, there's so many variables in real life, and so any model is going to have a certain amount of incorrectness to it. Is that really true, and how do you deal with that?
Yes, that's true. That's true. A model is only a caricature of or a cartoon of the reality, and it will never match reality, and it actually wouldn't make sense to match reality. Then we don't need a model. Then we can as well study it in reality, and we're even better off. And sometimes that's actually a pitfall. People build too complex models and then have to struggle with the same difficulties they would in reality, and the model is certainly less worse than the reality, so they would better do field work. But you have to see, we need models when we wanted to see what future impacts could do to our environment. And for those reasons, I believe we need the models despite all these deficiencies. However, it's not that bad. Even a cartoon usually has some truth to it. And even if it's distorting certain aspects or exaggerating certain ones and neglecting others, it is still only a good cartoon, you would say, if it matches some reality, if it resonates a string in you when you look at it. And I think that's exactly the same we have to do in science. We have to build models which have a relationship to reality which captures the crucial properties you're interested in a given context. This means if you use a model in climate change, it has to have different properties as if you use a model, let's say, to study what nutrients do and how you could fertilize forests or how you could get more out of plantations and so on. And that's actually, in fact, also the case. We have different models depending on what the purpose is for which we use. And it's the same. If you want to ridicule someone with a cartoon, you draw it differently than if you want to make a joke or if you want to emphasize the pleasantness of a person or whatever on which you do the cartoon. So you can imagine that in a similar way. And this means it's not just an art or it's not just a bitterly. We also test our models in particular to perform well in a changing climate, and that's why we use these models not only in the presence to correctly reproduce or mimic what we find today. We also, where we don't have that much climate change yet, we use those models, and particularly also during past climate changes, where we had big, big climate changes of a similar magnitude as we expect for the course of this century. Mm-hmm. And that is, for instance, at the end of the last ice age. We have data from those times. We've done such studies where we have from Poland data, from trees, we know what kind of species we had shortly afterwards the ice melted, and then when it got warmer and warmer and so on. And exactly the same thing we're trying to do with the model, to reproduce and simulate, how we call it, the change in the vegetation at that time. And if we match what we found in the pollen records well, then we say we have done a useful test for our model and we are ready to use it to make projections into the future.
How do you know that the kind of climate changes that have happened in the past will cause? So you were just you're listening to Giant Ear, and that was an interview with Dr. Andreas Fischlein in Zurich, Switzerland. He's a contributing author to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which means he's a Nobel Prize winner, talking about some of the issues related to climate change that the IPCC has been dealing with. And next, we have a very special feature, never been heard before on Giant Ear or anywhere else. And I think I'm going to pass it over to my New York Society for Acoustic Ecology NICE co-chair, Johnny Farrow, to tell you about the next lecture.
Thanks, Andrea. We're going to listen to Mark Foxman. This is called Yellow Medallion Tapes. And this is a series of recordings that he made in a cab that he used to drive. And this is going to come out on the new Giant Ear CD, which we'll tell you a little bit more about a little later. So enjoy for now.
We're going to, what is it, 34th? Macy's, please.
Hello.
Listen, I'm going downtown to Madison Street. And if you don't mind, from Madison Street, I'll only be like a minute, and I'm going to Christie and Grant. Okay? I'll give you a nice tip.
I gotta go as fast as possible to 73rd and Park Avenue.
135th and Broadway.
What is that, Eastchester Road? What is that?
Eastchester.
Thank you. Into Queens, please, on Regal Park. I'm just right off Queens Boulevard. I'm not far into the boondocks. Okay?
Take me to Penn and Building, go in the middle lane.
2310 48th Avenue, that's out in Woodside.
We want to go, I have to look it up. Do you know the theater, the best little
whorehouse in Texas? Hello. Hi. I'm going to, let me see. 56th and 6th-ish.
45th
Street West.
Okay, whereabouts?
Huh?
No, 45th and what? You know, 8th Avenue, 9th Avenue.
Oh,
Fifth Avenue.
Fifth or Avenue of the America, in between.
Oh, between 5th and 6th on 45th?
Between 5th
and the Avenue of America.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so you're listening to Giant Ear. We're coming to you live from Andrea Coward's apartment, and I won't say the address. And what we were just listening to was a recording I made in McCarran Park of a dog walk, but it was really a dog run because the dogs were very excited. And they were also drinking water. There's a public water dish that they have at the dog run. It's very thoughtful, so the dogs can drink randomly from it and share their saliva with one another. So that was dog drinking, and prior to that, it was a triple-decker diner, which is a diner on Manhattan Avenue with a lot of lively diner-type activities going on. And before that, we heard Mark Foxman with an excerpt from Yellow Medallion Tapes, which is some fascinating recordings he made from a yellow cab that he drove in the early 80s. I think we're going to go to some other material on our new CD, which is going to come out sometime in the next 6 months.
Ish.
And I think maybe we're going to head for a track from Johnny Farrow, which is track number 5, hopefully. It's called Dinosaurs, and it's a fascinating romp through the ambience of Johnny's apartment. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. You were just listening to Ben Owen with a recording called Bells, and that was made at a protest during the Republican National Convention put together by Pauline Oliveros, which involved a sort of ceremonial ringing of bells as a statement of peace. And before that, you heard Jeff Dugan with a recording called Whole Foods Cooler, which was literally that. And before that, we heard Johnny Farrow with a recording called Dinosaurs, which was sort of recording around his apartment with some added vocalese from a very large animal. And so I think we're going to switch over to some Andrea Callard recordings. And do we know what those are? Just a... do you want to say something?
No, I've forgotten what the order is. I know somewhere there's something from the B-61 bus with the windshield wipers, and we'll have to see what else is here.
All right, so we're going to hear some Andrea Callard recordings right now.
Hear these recordings right now because I forgot that they're AIFs and they need to be put in the computer.
Oh, someone's phone is going off. So why don't we just chat for a few minutes? Let's see who's here.
We're just going to chat for a couple of minutes. Yeah. Why doesn't everyone who's here at the party come and introduce themselves? Come and sit at the mic. Say who you are and why you like Andrea Poli.
I brought a painting of Shackleton's Endurance. That was, what's the word, aground on an iceberg.
Oh, it's beautiful, yeah. it's not so beautiful for the sailors, perhaps, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what year did this happen?
It was a beautiful boat.
Yeah.
My year's gone, but
19th century, 20th century?
Yeah, it was 20th century, early 20th century.
Early 20th century.
It was like, Shackleton was trying to get to the South Pole, and
And that was before they actually had a pole there.
It was before they had a pole, but they figured where it was.
There's no pole? Don't they have a marker? Something?
No.
They must have something. There's not a medallion? Oh.
Countries that promised to not claim ownership of Antarctica.
Oh, so
of course
if you didn't put a flag there, then that means you own it.
Right. Even if you did put a flag there, you're in the UK, you're going to claim to own it.
That's really wild. That's totally crazy. So we have to figure out what we're playing next. We had some Andrea Callard things queued up, but they were... the wrong kind of files to run via a CD player. I think we'll go back to the Inside Out New York City disc. So we're going to cue that up. And we're going to listen to a bit called... Korean Exorcism from Andrea Williams, our compatriot, who is currently in the Amazon rainforest with
what is the fellow's name that Andrea Williams is with at the moment? Francisco Rodriguez.
Francisco Lopez.
Yes. My apologies to him for not remembering his name. But they're in the Amazon at the moment. So in honor of her absence, we will play her piece from the Giant Ear disc called Korean Exorcism.
So
Thank you.
Hello.
But, which means that putting out the CD...
Talk now!
We're back. We were just listening to a bit called Peking Squeak, which is a recording that I, Johnny Farrow, made in Lower Manhattan. And so we're going to try, I believe, are we going to try to go to the Andrew Keller bits? Okay, so we're not ready for that yet. But what you heard before that was a piece called Korean Exorcism by Andrea Williams, who is one of our NYSA members, like I said before, who is currently in the Amazon with Francisco Lopez. Yeah, we could play a lot of different things. Let's see what we got here. Let me check this out. Yeah, why don't we play Slap Happy? Another good friend and a NYSA member just walked in, David Watson, and in honor of our host Andrea Callard and David, who just walked in, we will jump over to this bit called Slap Happy Pipes, which was a performance recorded at the City Soul event that happened back in July. In Manhattan, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, track 13, if you would please. Luckily the volume goes to 11, but the tracks should go up higher. And here it is.
Thank you.
So that was Slap Happy from...
let's go to Orbex.
All right, take us over to Orbex.
That was something else buzzing in. That was Slap Happy from Andrea Callard and David Watson. And next we have Andrea Callard here, who's going to announce the next couple of things. She's the gracious host of this going away party for Andrea. Yay! In reverb.
So the next part we'll hear is the foghorn from the Staten Island Ferry with some a small crowd of children. And after that we'll hear a segment from the B-61 bus known as the windshield wiper part.
Thank you.
two pieces by eight here. One is a telephone, the Staten Island Ferry. And the PGA Justice League was the intro by Chris Kim, the B-61 bus. So, the next bit we're going to listen to is another Charlie Pilgrim from the team. And we're going to just do a few minutes of this and then we're going to come back and sign off for the evening. So, if you have been listening, thank you very much for doing so. We're continuing our farewell party here for Andrea Poli, who's going off to Antarctica for a couple of months. And this piece is called Cosmic Grip. It is written next to the notes of the bedroom window, and it is some insomniac tree frogs. And here it is.
The driver's just gotten out of the bus.
He said it'd be right back.
I know, but
and I think we'll let the party ambience roll.
Yeah, I think that's interesting the way that driver moves.
Yeah, he's a driver, he's a walker.
The central air conditioning unit of a major skyscraper.
I think what we're going to do is take a right turn here and smack.
Yeah. going to freeze myself, and I've already got my umbilical juice in a lab in Arizona.
Well, the driver's just gotten out of
the bus. He said he'd be right back.
I know.
Yeah.
Did it sound like
that? Can I come back to life? It's just annoying that driver moves.
Yeah, he's a driver, he's a walker.
Yes, he has a bunch of those.
He's a good driver, and the driver has a long tradition of decades.
He's a pretty nice friendship with him.
In the bus case.
Yeah, you know, get a bus.
Signing off now. You've been listening to Giant Ear on Free 103.9. This is a production of the New York Society for Acoustic Ecology. It's normally much more together, but we're having a party for the going away of our colleague, Andrea Pulley, who's headed down to Antarctica. And if you've been listening, thanks so much for doing so. If you haven't been listening, thanks anyway. Okay, signing off.
Thank you.